Did you start the recording?
My dad just had his son a couple years ago, and his has been repaired so many times they had to cut muscle here to pull.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It was rough.
We changed it up on you guys. We decided to come to the right side of the stage, so you're left, just so we could be a little bit closer. So, how did Rich do? Did he do a good job? If you could sum up one word of what he taught you, what would that one word be? Okay. That's great. Well, we're grateful for you, brother, for handling the class. Well, we're going to start off with worship, but we're going to pray first. So if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time and this fellowship to come together and to praise your name. Lord, we want to raise our hands high and our voices loud because you're doing mighty things in our life and in the lives of our family, friends, and community. Lord, continue to work in and through us. Strengthen us. Give us steadfastness. Lord, bless those that can't be here this morning or the ones that took some time off and the ones that are journeying to church. Lord, keep them safe as they make their way to your house. Again, Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm feeling like today is a happy day.
We ain't really living too.
lyrics because I think it's so important. It's, "My sweet Jesus, take my hand, lead me to that promised land. The good book says to call out your name, and I'll walk right out of that grave." Who believes that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And verse 2, Lazarus died. His sisters wept, wrapped him up, his body prepped. Then Jesus came, called out his name, and Lazarus walked right out of the grave. Do you believe Lazarus walked out of the grave?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 3, they hung him on that ugly cross. His body beat. Pure blood was lost. They thought they won. But check that cave. Jesus walked right out of the grave. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All right, verse 4 and the last one is, now on that cross, yes, it's true, Jesus died for me and you. He took those sins, cast them away, now you could walk right out of that grave. If you believe that, why don't you stand up with us?
All right.
Sing with us on this. A little jazzy.
My sweet Jesus, take my hand,
lead me to the promised land. Good book says, call out your name, and I'll walk right out of the grave.
Lazarus died, his sisters wept. Him up, body prayer. Jesus came, called his name. Lazarus walked right out in the grave. They hung him on that ugly cross. His body
God this week. And so I said this before, a new song that's newer to me, not to some of you all, is "I'll Fly Away," and it seems to be the
Baptist
National Anthem.
That's just too funny. I'm sorry. I love that. But you can see why. So we want to sing it for you. I know you just sat down, but if you feel inspired and you want to stand up along the way, or you want to come up and sing in my mic too, we support that as well. Go ahead. This is where you start.
shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown.
Come on up.
Let us pray for the offering. Our most precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day that you've given us. The sun is shining out there. I know the temperature's not real warm, but Lord, it's just a beautiful time to see the sun. Lord, and one of these days, we're going to see the real sun.
Amen.
Lord, and we're going to praise you and worship you. Lord, we ask right now that you bless the offering as it's given. Lord, we just ask those who bless those who can give and those who can't, Lord. Use this offering for the building of thy kingdom, the winning of lost souls. Lord, in everything that you do, we'll give you praise and glory. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
one too. Does anybody have a praise report? Did God do anything big in your life this week? Praise report at all?
I'm going to praise the Lord because we thought a pretty cat had been killed.
Oh.
And we found that we didn't see her from because the bobcat was Richie's. And we saw it run across the road yesterday. And we called their neighbors who went to their house. And they said, yeah, she showed up last Sunday. We've been beating her ever since. They were running an ad in the paper, doing coke.
Amen. God is good. God is good. If you girls want to bring down my monitor just a little bit so it doesn't feed back. You know, animals in our household are almost like family. And when you have to say goodbye to them or they're sick and they give you those eyes, it, you know. So I definitely know what it is because I've prayed for my animals many of times, many of times. And God has answered those calls. So nothing's too small for God to pray for, right? Amen. We need to go to God with everything. So what I want to do is I want to start us off by standing up, and I want to love on each other. Let's greet each other. You know how I do it. Let's stand up. Let's say God is good all the time. He loves us and our family and our pets. Hey man, what's going on? How you doing? Yeah, I like that shirt. Okay. When are you gonna bring your guitar? Or is it just a wall hanger?
It's like okay, so like wrestling's over.
Oh, that's right. You're busy with wrestling.
Like, I was gonna go like last week, but I had a scout thing that I had to go to. So I might be here this week.
If not, you know, bring it on Sunday. I mean, you could always go through it, yeah. So you don't feel like you're behind on anybody. Like, we could get together and we could attack that.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure you still got it.
Yeah,
pawn and offering thing.
No.
Okay. Cool. I look forward to you bringing it. Bring it next Sunday. Okay. And I didn't have the pamphlet. I had it. The track for today? Yeah. Ah, oh, there it is. I want to make sure we're not forgetting anything. No, I love it.
I got one thing to say.
Yes, sir.
There is an infant in the house today.
There's an infant. Hey.
There's an infant in the house today.
All right. We're going to give a praise for that, because that's a sign of a healthy church right there. I'll preach louder. Don't go anywhere. You are fine. I like that. Thank you, Todd. You're a great man. Thank you, sir. Oh, we're missing it. We have a phone. Anybody need? I say the same thing about cookies at night. I just found this here. I love it. Well, I text Tim, or as I call my boss, about upcoming time off next Sunday. I have to take off next Sunday due to a minor procedure that's going to be done on Thursday. Nothing major. And I need a few days of rest, and he texts me back, hey, no problem. It's all good. But I'm going to need some time off, too. I said, okay. He says, actually, it's going to be this Sunday. And I said, okay, you let me know that Eli is getting baptized. That's his grandchild. And I said, of course, Tim, no problem. And I was sitting there the next day, and I was like, I wonder who's going to preach. And then I realized, oh, that's me. So I was struggling a little bit. Where am I going to go? We've talked about a lot of different things, have we not? You know, sometimes I squeeze a little bit, and then sometimes I try to please. So I was asking God, where do you want me to go with this sermon this morning? And I thought about it, and I decided to talk about being baptized and what that meant. Now, bear with me, because I know a lot of you will know a lot of this, but then I'm going to challenge you with some other questions towards the end. And it won't be long. There's only about 800 pages worth of stuff here, so. Okay, I got to ask. Raise of hands. Who's been baptized? So I can get a lay of the land. Okay. Who's been baptized? Now keep your hand up if you were baptized in a river. Awesome. I love that. I always dreamt of what that would be like. Okay. I'll tell you what. If I ever make it to the land of milk and honey down out in Israel, and find my way to the Jordan River. Me and Rich were talking about this. You best believe I'm going down to the river to pray and get a little bit wet. You know. It's a special time, is it not, when you're baptized? Most people remember their time they were baptized. I remember mine. I was baptized by my godfather, Reverend Dale Brackens, and Reverend Dale Brackens was a huge 6'7" man. Big guy. He actually tried to get into the NBA back in the 80s and 90s, but was turned down because he was too small. This is the time when everybody then was like 12 feet tall. So he's a big guy. He had my number. I could never get one over on him. And so I was baptized at Panorama Full Gospel Four Square Church in Panorama, California, the church that my family built. And all I could remember about that particular day is getting dunked, coming up, and everybody clapping, a few hallelujahs, and then my dad in the back yelling, dunk him again! And they did. They dunked me again. I think that's how I ended up here. I needed it. Luckily, I don't think Pastor has to do that with his grandchild. His kids are great.
At least he didn't say, hold him under a little longer.
Yeah, yes. So this week I was studying about it too in school, which is great because then I could steal some of the material and bring it on over. So the Greek word for a baptism is baptizo, which means to immerse, submerge, dip, or overwhelm. I thought that was an interesting word. Overwhelm. Mm-hmm. To be baptized is a sign, a symbol, and a wonderful event for any follower of Jesus. We talked about that. We all remember our times being baptized. So it's a wonderful event. And it's especially wonderful for moms and dads that are praying for their children, for husbands and wives and grandparents. So when our loved ones get baptized into the community, it's a time of rejoicing, correct?
Amen.
And you shout to the Lord like, thank you, God. You got them. You got them to that finish line, a relationship with you. So that's important. If we need to always be praying for our children, especially those that haven't been baptized yet because maybe they're not at that age, or somebody who just became a new believer and that wants to be baptized, we need to constantly pray for them. So to be baptized is a sign of a person's incorporation into the body of Christ, the church, which is the hands and the feet of the risen Savior, per 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it lists the parts of the church. So when we get dunked and everybody starts clapping, what we're really saying is, welcome to the family, right? Welcome to the family. Let's say that to Eli, even though he can't hear us, but welcome to the family. Yeah, that's a big step for anybody. To be baptized, again, is a symbol of following Jesus down to the grave and rising up from the grave to a new life in Jesus Christ. It's literally to die and to be reborn again, born new. Or in simpler terms, it's kind of like hitting the redo button on your spiritual life. The other way wasn't working, so I'm going to put that to death. I'm going to kill my old life for Christ, and I'm going to be reborn for Christ. That means my attention, my focus is only Christ. Did you know baptism is stated as a burial in Romans 6, 1 through 5 by Paul? You guys know that? Stated as a burial. Yeah, so let's go ahead and stand in honor. And we're going to go to Romans 6, 1 through 5. And it's titled, Dead to Sin, Alive to God. And I'll be reading out of the NIV, as I seem to like that more. When you get there, can you just give me an amen so I know you were there? Yeah. All right. That's going to be Romans 6, 1 through 5. Dead to sin, alive to God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Now this is Paul, of course, saying we need to be changed. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into death? Question mark. Into death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you, guys. So Paul is saying that we need to die to our old ways. Your old sinful ways need to be put to death, and you're made new. You're reborn in Christ. You're a better version of yourself. You're the 2.0 model, right? With all the upgrades. And that's what God does. He upgrades us. He takes what we were, and he makes us better for him and his glory. Not for our glory. God didn't give me a talent so I could sit here and appease myself, but he gave me this talent so I could bless him and others could be blessed through my talent and give honor back to God. So when we're dying to ourselves, we're saying, hey, this old way of life doesn't work no more. Now, I know we all know this for a lot of us, the body of believers, but I got to tell you, here's a warning. Here's a trigger warning, and I don't want to upset anybody or hurt anybody's feelings, but I have to say it because I'm a servant of the Lord. And I can't water down the gospel, and this is it. If you decide to get baptized to show your family that you're saved, but you're really not, you didn't get baptized, you just took a public bath. I'm going to say that again. If you decide to get baptized to show the family and the world that you're saved, but you're really not, you didn't get baptized, you just took a public bath. And I know that kind of may hurt some, nobody here I know, but if anybody's listening online, that might hurt some people's feelings. But it's the truth. Baptism is not salvation insurance. Now stick with me here. Baptism is not salvation insurance. It's just the beginning of our life as a Christian. Many have the mistaken idea that being baptized automatically ensures internal salvation. Wrong. Wrong. Somebody might have saw that Jesus gets us out on Super Bowl and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give this. I want to be safe, so I'm going to get baptized just so I know I'll go to heaven. But they don't believe. They don't have a relationship with God. Were they saved? A lot of kids, I hate to say this, a lot of teenagers and young adults get pressured by family to go get dunked in the water, but their hearts aren't there. This is a huge commitment when we decide to put to death our old life, be reborn in Christ, and to follow him, pick up our cross and follow him. So baptism is not salvation insurance. It's just the beginning of our life as a Christian. And many have this mistaken idea that being baptized automatically ensures eternal salvation. Wrong. Let me tell you two things baptismal is not. And this is important. Number one, baptism is not a substitute for repentance. You still need to repent to Christ and ask for forgiveness for your sins. Amen. To God. So it's not a substitute for repentance. And baptism is not water salvation. We like to think of it as, but it's not water salvation. You can't skip Christ and go straight to the water and expect to be saved. Christ is the one that saves us. Right. The power, is there power in that water or is there power in Jesus? Yeah. Now, I know we all should know this stuff, but I think it's important to say this. The power to forgive sin isn't found in the water, but it's found in Jesus Christ. The one who forgives our sins when we ask to be forgiven. And we have that heart to really want to be forgiven. My wife has told me that before when I've said sorry. Hey, sorry. I don't really think you're sorry there. Don't strike me as sorry. No, I'm sorry. Can God see our hearts? Can he see it better than anybody else? Can we pull the wool over God's eyes? No. No, he has our number. Just like Dale Brackens had my number, always caught me doing something wrong. And he was one of those kind of preachers that would come around the corner, and I used to be on the worship team, and me and my brother and friends would get off, and we'd go around the back and smoke cigarettes, not go into church. And I remember Dale would walk around the church when it was his time to preach, and he always caught me up to no good. And the way he would do it was kind of scary to me, because you'd be like, he'd walk around the corner, big guy, catch me. Oh, hello, Reverend. Don't you think you should be inside church right now? Look at my brother, like he's finding a verse for us. And I would always respond, I believe I should. Hightail it out. And we need strong Christians like that. We need strong men and women that kind of shake our tree and say, hey, you're not doing it right. So here's another big question. Will you go to heaven if you're not baptized? Okay, I'm feeling like that. Woo. Feeling the scales here. Will you go to heaven if you're not baptized? Yes, you will. The example for this is the thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus. Did he get baptized? Did the book say he was baptized? I think we talked about this before. Did he give offering every Sunday? What about his works? Did he have a lot of good works? Had kind of bad works. But he believed in Jesus Christ, did he not? And what did, you said it best when we were talking about this a few days ago. You didn't know I was going to be talking about this. But Jesus said, you'll be in paradise with me 5 months from now? Today. Today. It's not about a relationship with God is a relationship. It's believing, it's trusting, asking questions along the way. It's not about the rituals all the time. It's not about, you could go to church every day of the week. You could dunk yourself a million times in this baptistry. But if you don't believe, what good was it? We learn about the same thing Paul talks about, 1 Corinthians, about what is love. You hear it during weddings all the time. And if you don't have love, you have nothing. Well, what is love? Well, God is love, and love is God. So if you don't have God, you have nothing. So yes, I personally believe, and a lot of others believe, that without being baptized, you're still going to be saved as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and confess your sins. Here we go. Let me ask you another question, and this one might be even a little bit more trickier. Did Jesus baptize anyone himself with water? Raise your hand if you think he did baptize with water. Okay, raise your hand if you think he did not baptize anybody with water. Okay. Well, this was the one that I was studying personally this week at GBSC. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So I want to share with you guys what I know. So did Jesus baptize anybody himself with water? Well, the answer is there is only one place in the gospel that could be used to say that Jesus baptized people. And that's found in John 3, 22 through 23. If you guys want to go there, John 3, 22 through 23. Same thing, give me a praise the Lord when you get there. Now, I'm horrible with names, so if I butcher some of these names, forgive me. Yeah, John 3, 22 through 23. And this, again, is one of the only places where we kind of see Jesus, what they're saying about him baptizing. So after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized, period. 23. Now, John was also baptizing at Anon, did I say that right? Near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. Once again, this is John 3, 22 through 23. I decided to put 23 in there, but 22 is the focus because it says, and baptized. However, when we continue reading for a few more verses, we find that John 4, 1 through 2 appears to clarify the previous verse, saying now, this is John 4, 1 through 2. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees, or as I call them, the day ruiners, because whenever they showed up, they always ruined the day. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. But 2 says this, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Anybody familiar with that story? What's going on right here? Okay, so Jesus and John happened to be almost across the stream from each other. Right? They already started their ministry. Jesus was already baptized, already started his ministry. And Jesus' servants, or his disciples, were baptizing, and John's over here with his people baptizing. And the Pharisees, once again, day ruiners trying to pull in dissension, were like, hey, I noticed that Jesus' crew over here is baptizing more people than John. You know, kind of like stir up problems. So, taking John 4, 1 through 2, and especially 2, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples, the gospel never mentioned Jesus baptizing anyone. I know that's kind of shocking at first. You're like, whoa, I was the same way. Nearly every scholar agrees that it is unlikely that Jesus baptized anyone. Instead, the thought is that Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And with fire. The Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus says, I'm going to send you a great helper, right? He sent me my wife. I'm grateful for that. But I know that great helper is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit breaks the verses down. It brings clarity to us. It guides us. He directs us. It's God's power. And it said, Jesus said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not coming to you. So Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is Mark 1:8. This is John the Baptist saying this. Again, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is Mark 1:8. And this is John the Baptist speaking about Christ. Other examples in every other gospel includes John 1:33, Luke 3:16 through 17, and Matthew 11 through 12 all say the same thing. So every gospel says the same thing, that Jesus, that John's saying, I'm not going to, I will baptize you with water, but Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, which is a lot better. So Jesus is baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. It's found in all four Gospels, but there's a particular verse I really want to look at, and this is Paul again, and this is 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to be jumping around much more than that. 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 17, we see Paul saying this, and this is 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 17. Now I'm probably going to butcher some of the names. I apologize. But this kind of leads me to where I want to go. Paul is saying, what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. And another, I follow Cephas. Still, another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? That's what it starts off with, the question mark. Is Christ divided? That's 13. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. Did I say that right? I'm going to say that again because 14 kind of shocked me when I read it. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except, and he gives this list of people. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. 16, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So what is Paul saying here? Does anybody know? Did I throw you all for a curveball? I know. I was kind of the same way when I was learning all this. Like, wow. So looking at John 4:1, it says that people were flocking to the disciples of Jesus to be baptized instead of John the Baptist. And right after this, John 4:3, taking the other verse we talked about, says that Jesus left Judea and departed Galilee. This is most likely to avoid the same kind of situation happening. So what's going on is, in other words, people were identifying themselves by and aligning themselves with the person who baptized them. Kind of see the same thing in church in other forms, like, oh, I'm part of this worship leader or that person, and you know how people love to draw lines. When instead, in their baptism, they should have been identifying themselves by and aligning themselves with Christ. Everything we do should be for who? Should it be for ourselves? Should it be for a particular minister? But a lot of people follow ministers like that. They almost have like this God aura to them, and people are like, oh, wow, they walk on water. Let me tell you straight up, I said it before. If this was filled up and you asked me to walk across it, I won't. I'm sinking straight to the bottom. And I don't think I'm a good swimmer either, so you're going to have to give me CPR. I don't walk on water. None of us do. We're all born into sin. But a lot of people idolize things. I talked about that before. We love to idolize things. That's kind of what it... We want to worship something. That's part of what it means to be created in God's image, is we got to worship something. And in that sense, what is it that we worship? So Paul is really telling these people, like, you're identifying yourself with who's baptizing you, but you're not identifying yourself with Christ for why you're being baptized. You guys still with me? Okay. They were placing more importance on the person who baptized them than on the true meaning of baptism. As a result, it caused division when there should have been unity in Christ. We see that again all the time. Where there should be unity in Christ, we see division.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. You know what? So they're putting more meaning on the person that's baptizing them than Christ. who's setting them free, who they're beginning their new life for. And as a result, it caused a lot of division. Paul rebukes this thinking, and because of it, he was thankful. He was thankful that he had not baptized many people, because he saw the dissension. It is thought that the same thing may have applied to why Jesus didn't baptize anyone. It's because there would have been too many people say, well, Jesus personally baptized me, but not you, so I have favor. Another way to kind of really look at that, and it kind of breaks it down a little bit more, and this is how God clarified it to me, is when Moses asked God, what's your name? What did he say? Great I am. What that really kind of translates to is like, I am who I say I am. And you know why he said that? Is because the Egyptians at the time, they knew all their gods' names, and they thought, because I know my God's name, I have favor with my God, I could control my God. God ain't going to be controlled by no one, is he? So he's literally telling them, like, well, I am who I say I am, so go do what I say. And that's why, still to this day, you can't speak that name. It's a forbidden name. I am the great I am. So right here, a lot of teachers will say that the reason Jesus did this was because he didn't want people acting that way. That he didn't personally dunk somebody in. But the way he sanctifies us is with the Holy Spirit, with fire. And that's what I want. I want God to burn up the bad in my life, to burn up the things that that doesn't please him, right? Get rid of it, God. Send your Holy Spirit to fill me. Give me clarity. Give me understanding. Give me direction in my life. God had to speak to me using the Holy Spirit, me and my wife, before we left California, beautiful 75, to come to Ohio. We had to know that God was like, hey, I need you to go, and I need you to pick up your stuff and go today. Are you sure, God? Are you sure? Are you sure? No, there comes a point. Like, Abraham, okay, God, you're sending me to somewhere I don't know. I'm going to go then. Okay? I'm going to trust. So every time we take that dip, or for those that take the dip, what's the meaning behind it? Why are we dipping ourselves in that water? Is we're dying to our old self, and we're being reborn, renewed in Jesus Christ. In closing, as I have my sister Tammy come on up. Yes, sir. Please.
So, for many years, I was saved. And for many years, I told everybody that I did not need to be baptized. And after we started coming here, I still felt the same way. Pastor Tim and I had talked before we joined the church. And through the classes of membership, you know, this was brought to our attention. That was not what changed my mind, but God put it on my heart that I needed to be baptized. Mm-hmm. At that time, if I would have rejected it, I felt that he would have cast me aside. When God puts it on your heart, I feel you need to do what God tells you to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes, right on the nose. God's going to call you to do something. He's going to put it on your heart. And in this case, he's like, hey, I want you to mark yourself as me. You're now mine. You know, that's why we dedicate our babies. We're literally saying, like, to God, like, hey, you're going to raise this child. I'm just kind of here for now. So give me the wisdom. But you're in charge. You're daddy. And when we dunk ourselves, now, as a kid, it's not the same thing. A lot of people think it's the same thing, but it's not. Dedication is not baptism. It's not. One is parents doing it. The other is when that kid says, I'm going to live for Christ now. My life is going to be for Jesus and only Jesus. And that's the difference. And so if nobody's been baptized in your family, and you know they need to be? Talk to them. Educate them. Encourage them. Because I'll tell you, when you come out of that water, especially after the second dip from experience, you almost feel lighter. You're like, man, God's going to do something. I want to pray. Let's stand up. Let's pray for those that just got baptized, including Eli, that he will continue to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. And for us that have already been baptized, that we will continue to live for the Lord and not for this current time. And then we're going to sing I Surrender All on page 354. So if you want to grab that too. And we'll open a close off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you again for this time. We thank you again for this fellowship, Lord. Bless the Bradshaw family, especially as they're dedicating more of their family members to you. I ask that you watch over Eli, that you direct him, you guide him, and that he will know that you're in charge, that you're the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, and that he can't do anything unless you're doing it for him. And that he could be a good representation of you, Christ, and that he won't bring sin into the church, into the body of Christ, and that he's going to stand up for what's right. And for all of us, Lord, I ask that you continue to give us steadfastness when the devil wants to blow us over, Lord. We want to stand tall and firm in your name. We want to surrender all and say, God, we can't do this no more. I'm ready to die to my old ways and go into that water and come out renewed, reborn through you, Jesus Christ. So again, Lord, I pray for those that have just been baptized or that are being baptized today, as well as those of us that have already been baptized. Remind us, Lord, remind us of your goodness. Remind us of your grace. Keep leading us and keep guiding us. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. Amen. As Tim would say, does anybody have anything to say? Want to put a period at the end of the preaching?